Us open up God's word together now in the Psalms this morning, coming to Psalm 16. There are many Psalms which clearly look to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and perhaps none more so than Psalm 16, referenced even in Peter's Pentecost sermon showing that because Jesus did not see corruption but rose from the dead, that he is the Christ. And it is that Christ to whom David looks as he writes these words here. Psalm 16, the Word of God, beginning at verse 1. A miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. As we meditate upon this psalm and consider it this morning, it is an opportunity for us to reflect on our hearts. Are we being content with the lot that God has given us in life? Are you joyful for how God has made you and for where God has you and for what God is taking you through at this present time? Gladness and joy are a resounding theme of this psalm as David looks to the Lord as, in the words of verse 5, his chosen portion and his cup. And as David considers the Lord, David concludes that his lot in life, what God has done for him, is good and pleasant, that God is leading him in the paths of life and giving to him joy, even eternal pleasures. I suspect for many of us, this has not been our reaction in recent weeks. This pandemic has disrupted our lives, and it is easy to be anxious, to be afraid, to complain, to be frustrated. It's very easy to conclude that our lot in life right now is not pleasant, and it is easy also to forget the resurrection of Christ and to forget the hope that we have in front of us because we see the trouble around us, we see the suffering within and without, and we forget these things. And this psalm is a psalm which calls us to look to Jesus and to consider his work, that he died and was buried, but that he rose from the dead for us and for our salvation, and that as God did not abandon Jesus to Sheol, he did not let his Holy One see corruption, but Jesus rose from the dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, as we believe in him, the words of this psalm are true for you as well, that the Lord has given you joy and life, and your inheritance and your lot in life is good in the Lord Jesus. I want us to consider this psalm in two different ways as we read it. First, I want us to consider that Jesus delights in you, his people. And second, that Jesus' resurrection is for your present and eternal joy in life. This psalm, originally written by David, is a psalm where David is clearly looking forward to the Christ, as David writes poignantly in verse 9 and 10, concluding that God will not abandon David's soul to Sheol or let his Holy One see corruption. David, knowing that the resurrection is coming one day, though David had not yet seen it, he believed from afar in the resurrection of Christ. And so he recognized that the work of Jesus would one day come and be fulfilled. And as Jesus fulfills this psalm, which David wrote, these words apply to the life and the ministry of Christ himself. And then as they apply to Christ, then for the Christian by faith in Christ, by our union with Christ, they become our words as well. And so within that framework, as we read the psalm begins with a plea that in verse 1, God would preserve me, for God is the refuge of the psalmist. God is the refuge of God's Son, Jesus, and God is the refuge of the Christian through faith in Jesus. And as the work of Christ here is so clearly foreshadowed, it's important to remember that this work is done out of God's love for you and Jesus' delight in you. Even as the psalmist says, "You are my Lord, I have no good apart from you." He also says in verse 3, "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent one in whom is all my delight." The psalmist delighting in the Lord and in the Lord's people. And this is a theme that we see throughout the scripture in the work of Christ, that it was the love of God that motivated him to send his Son into the world, in the language of John 3. It was, in the language of Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before Jesus that he endured the cross. The love of God to sinners is what motivates all of the action in time and space, in the sending of God's Son, in the life and the ministry of Jesus, and in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. What lies behind all of this is God's perfect love for you, a sinner. That is what is in view here in the psalm, that Jesus, as the greater David, who perfectly delighted himself in the Lord and in the Lord's people, he went and was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross for you. For the sinner who had failed on these things, for the sinner who would more fit with the language of verse 4 than the rest of this psalm, the sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. And if we are honest with ourselves, how often do we run after other gods? How often do we find joy and delight in something that is not the Lord? How often do we think of our time with the Lord in his word or in prayer as a burden or as boring or as something that is not very delightful? We find our joy elsewhere. We try to find security elsewhere. We try to find meaning elsewhere, and we are frustrated. Our sorrows multiply because true joy and true gladness can only be found in the Lord, and as in the Lord, also in the fellowship of believers by the Spirit. Jesus' perfectly fulfilled the words of this psalm. Jesus never ran after another god. Jesus never took the names of other gods on his lips. Jesus, verse 5, made the Lord his chosen portion and cup. Jesus fulfilled this perfectly, and he did it out of delight in God's people, delight in you, that you might be washed through the blood of Jesus, no longer a sinner, but now one of the saints in the land. It's important to remember that the love of God is what motivates God's action to save you. The sending of Jesus, Jesus' death and resurrection, his walking out of the tomb, these are not impersonal, static data points in a history book. These are the actions of a God who determined to love you and to save you from your sins and from all of the effects of the curse and the fall, even from death itself. The hope of the psalm ultimately is in resurrection, and that is the hope of the Christian as well. Our hope is not simply abstractly that God loves us, that God delights in us. Those things are true. But as those things led God to act, to send his Son, that we might look to him by faith and believe upon him and have life in his name and be delivered from death and from the fear of death. So also, God's love leads us to consider our lot in life in light of the resurrection of Jesus and your resurrection in the future. Jesus' resurrection, his work, is for your joy, both now and for every day to all eternity. Jesus' resurrection is for your joy. David here in the psalm, considering that the Lord is his chosen portion and cup in verse 5, he concludes in verse 6, "The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." The language of the psalm here, "the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." This is, as it were, the property lines, the lines that God has marked out for David, the things that God has given to David. And it is fair to understand this as meaning all of what God gives us in life. And David says, it is fallen in pleasant places. Do you look at your life and do you look at your Lord and consider that things have fallen for you in pleasant places? Well, sometimes, maybe more often than we would hope, it seems like this is not the case. And it seems like the lines have not fallen in pleasant places. So how can these words that David says here be true? Well, they are true because of the firm hope and reality of a resurrected Savior, meaning that we also will enter into resurrection. It's not necessarily the case that this side of glory, that every Christian has a pleasant life. That's not necessarily true. However, it is true that the lot for the Christian is pleasant because the lot for the Christian is Christ and Christ's resurrection. And brothers and sisters, that is your lot. Your lot, your inheritance in the Lord is Jesus himself. It's nothing more and nothing less. You get the whole Jesus united to him by faith in his death and his resurrection. And because Jesus lives and because Jesus is the firstborn of the new creation, you also will live. You also will walk out of the tomb as Jesus did, to the full enjoyment of God to all eternity. It is that framework which motivates David's words here, that David considers that the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. David was no stranger to hardship. David didn't have the easiest of lives. David didn't have any of the modern comforts in life that we have. David knew what suffering was. David knew what hardship was. But David also knew who his Savior was. And because David knew his Savior, David knew that there was joy and life in front of him. And as you have believed in the Lord Jesus, this is what is in front of you, brothers and sisters, as well. Young and old, rich and poor, white or black, everyone who has trusted in Jesus by faith has this hope that the lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. You have a beautiful inheritance. You can rejoice in your whole being. Your flesh dwells secure. Verse 9. Why? Because verse 10, just as God did not abandon Jesus to the grave or let him see corruption, but he rose from the dead on that third day, that Easter Sunday, some 2,000 years ago. So also, you will not be abandoned to the grave, and you will enter into resurrection life. God has made known to you, verse 11, just as he has done to David, the path of life, that by faith in Christ, you live, you have life in his name. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, verse 11 says, are pleasures forevermore. And so I ask you to reflect a little bit within your own mind and heart. Are you remembering these things and believing these things as a Christian? They are true. They are true for you. And if you find yourself anxious and frustrated and crushed down, and despairing and lacking in joy, and feeling perplexed, then that is the time when you need to take the same action that the psalmist here himself takes in verse 8, to set the Lord before you, to set him at your right hand, to remember Jesus, to fix your eyes upon Jesus, to remember that these present sufferings and your present trouble are not the end of the story. In fact, they don't even define your story. Your story is not defined by the present trouble and distress which you face. Your story is not defined by your present struggles, even with sin. Your story is defined by your God, to whom you look. And if your God is the true and the living God, and you look to him through faith in Jesus, knowing that Jesus' death and resurrection were for you, then set that in front of yourself. Remind yourself of the saving work of God for you. Remind yourself that God has done this out of love for you. And that your story and your journey is defined not by present distress and trouble, but by a powerful and secure hope that God has given to you his Son. God loves you in his Son, and God will never, ever abandon you or any of his people to the grave. God delivers us from all evil. And in the end, we enjoy the fullness of the Lord, enjoying pleasures forevermore. You won't have distress and trouble and suffering forevermore. But the scriptures say that as you believe in Jesus, you will have pleasures and joy forevermore. And this is, if you look at verse 11, you see that these three things go together, life, joy, and pleasure, all connected to the Lord. Eternal life, when we think of salvation in Jesus, is not this abstract, joyless concept. What God has given to you in Jesus is these three things packaged together in Christ: life, joy, and pleasure. And life and joy and pleasure that does not fade away, that does not end, but that continues day after day for all the infinite days to come in the resurrection, where death is defeated and no more. This is what God has done out of his grace and love to you in Jesus. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to set this before yourselves this Easter Sunday and in the days to come. Set the Lord before you in his Son, Jesus. And remember that God is acting in love and mercy to you, and that what God has set in front of you is a delight to you. You have a beautiful inheritance. It may be a few years before we get there, but by God's power, you will get there, and we will not be shaken. God has given to you in his Son Jesus the fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore, things better than anything this world has to offer. God gives it to us and to you by faith in his Son, Jesus. Consider him. Consider the Lord Jesus, who loved you, who delighted himself in you, so that he went to die for you, to take your sins away, so that you might enter into this joy. God gives it to you freely. It is guarded for you by his power, and you will certainly, as you look to Jesus, one day enjoy it in full. Let us pray. Lord, you are our chosen portion and our cup. And because we see that Jesus did not see corruption, but rose from the dead and walked out of the tomb, we know that you have drawn the lines in pleasant places for us also, that you have made known to us the path of life through faith in the Lord Jesus. Give to us the joy and gladness of our salvation as we look to Jesus' resurrection life, in whose name we pray. Amen.